Okay. Pretty good. Guys, so, hey, Daniel. Okay, so yesterday we laid out the three shitot in Rishonim about Chelet and Lavan. We noted that how many strings does the Rambam think you need?
Half.
Right, one of eight. Right? One and seven. Sorry, not one of seven, one and seven. One and eight, yeah. The Ravid, this is from yesterday, I was like, yeah, the Ravid says, right, two of eight, one of four. And Rashi and Tosafot would say?
Four of eight, two and a four.
Now, we noted that conceptually, right, this was based on the Tziv, based on the Rav, that how do they understand Tzitzit and Tchelet and the relationship between them?
It's one mitzvah and two separate parts.
So, not really. Right? That's not the key for them.
The Rambam
thinks it's one mitzvah with two parts, but why does he come up with his particular conception of Tchelet being one of...
Because the Tchelet is... The Lavan is the Iker.
Correct. It's one mitzvah with two parts, but the Lavan is Iker, and the Tchelet is the Korich. Right, the tchelet is what wraps. Right, that's what Rambam says explicitly. Right, in Halach Gimel, I think he says that it's one mitzvah with two parts. Right, and he says, right, I should have brought my Rambam, but I'm not. Right, he says, right, nimtzu mitzvah is shnei tzibuyim. It has two parts. Sheyasa al kanaf anaf yotzei mimena. Then in the corner you put anafim. V'sheyichroch al anaf chot tchelet, and to wrap on it a chot tchelet. Then the Tziv says the Rambam thinks that it's two mitzvah, it's one mitzvah with two parts, but the way you view that is that the ikar is the white, and the role of the tchelet is to wrap. The only machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid is when it says ptil, which wraps, is that one whole string or one half string? That's the only machlokas. What?
Ptil means wrap?
What? No, when it says you put a ptil tchelet, right? But the way the Rambam conceptualizes sheyichroch, right? That the role of the tchelet is to wrap the white. But tzitzit bikaron is white, right? It's two parts of one mitzvah, but one is more central than the other. Namely, the white is the anaf, right? Is what you put on the corner, and then the blue wraps around the white.
Meaning the white is like the key mitzvah.
Is the basic mitzvah, right? The Tosvot is all of the other extreme. Tosvot thinks what?
That they're each like.
Right, Tosu says very clearly, Kaven de Trey Mine Boy Rachmana Svarahu Shiyu Shavin. Right, you need two and two. Why? Because for Tosu, what's the definition of tchela, of tzitzis? Right, for the Rambam, what's the definition of tzitzit? White. And blue wraps the white. According to Tosfot, what's the definition?
White and blue.
But what's the...
Blue and white.
Is like Israel.
Correct.
No. What was the word that Unglus uses to...
Now, but Tosfot points out that, therefore, what is the simplest shot of Lane Ma'akvin Zedzeh?
Meaning if you only have blue, then you still do two blue strings.
And not too white, right. And vice versa. I mean, according to Tosfot, if I only have white, how many strings do I have total?
Two,
which is four. Right? But not four, which is eight. Right? So Rambam is easy. Rambam thinks that tzitzit, definitionally, is white. And the role of tchelet is to be korech, is to wrap around it. The Tosfot is the opposite. The definition of tzitzit is one mitzvah with two independent parts, called blue and white. Right? Lavan and tchelet. And they're totally independent. When it says Ein Makvin Zedzeh, it means
that
if you just rip one off,
if you don't have one, you do the other. Just the other. Right? What's the problem? Who's the most complicated sheet in the Sugya? Rashi. Because Rashi says, like Tosfot, how many blue strings do you need?
Two.
But what does he say Ein Makvin Zedzeh means?
Like if you don't have blue,
you do all white. Mehecha Tesi.
Rashi says
you need
two strings.
What? You need four strings.
I'm saying, where does Tosfot and Rashi mean two strings?
What do you mean?
Right?
Good. So that's a very hard read, but as we'll see later, the majority of poskim seem to have actually agreed with Rashi, which is why Rav Shechter has four. I think the reason I have two, the most people who buy it nowadays, just the most popular one is the Ravid. Right, and the second most popular is the Rambam, and the third most popular is Tosfot. But in terms of Psak, as we'll see in that Gerduman Zugya, The majority of...
I think Arduin was the word I was looking for.
Oh, okay. Now, but how do you understand Rashi? So you remember, right, Rashi's weird. Because Rashi, Tosfot thinks that white and blue are mamish equal. So it makes sense that if you don't have... Ma'akfin for Tosfot means, if I don't have chelet, so I just have two strings total. Two, four. Okay, fine. Yes. But according to Rashi, how could it be that they're conceptually equivalent, such that you need four and four, or two and two, however you want to look at it, right? But if you don't have tchelet, then you still have four strings, but they're all white. Or if you don't have white, what does he say you have?
All tchelet.
All tchelet. Mechatesi. So here the Rav argues, what did the Rav argue?
He's focusing on gedilim.
Correct, there's two parshia. The parsha in Dvarim says nothing about white or tchelet, it says gedilim dazalach. Which means that the definition of tzitzit is not white or tchelet. What is it? Strings. And therefore, the ideal way of being mekayim it is equal lavan and tchelet. But if you don't have lavan, then what should you do? All tchelet. If you don't have tchelet, do all lavan. And that's Rashi's unique shita.
I don't get how you would have no lavan.
Well... What happened if you had a small amount of strings and you accidentally...
And they happen all to be dyed already, yeah. Right? Okay.
And the white wool factory burned down.
Bidyuk. Okay, so now let's look back at the Mishnah and the Gemara. But this was all within the Shita of Ein Ma'akvin. But there is another Shita in the Gemara, Ma'akvin. So we need to understand the other Shita. Because according to all these Shita, however you take it, in the end of the day, you can be mekayim either the whole mitzvah or at least the lavan without the tchelet. But there are two shitas. So let's look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Atchelet ain't a makevet lavan, va lavan ain't a makevet atchelet. Tefila shel yad ain't a makevet shel rosh, v'shel rosh ain't a makevet shel yad." The tchelet doesn't prevent you from fulfilling the white, and vice versa. And the two tefillin are not makev each other.
Isn't that what Tosfos uses?
That's what Tosfos uses to prove his point. Correct, because in the case of tefillin, it's clear.
Right.
That what it means ain of ma'akev is that you can put on one without the other.
So what's the mehatazi then by Tosfos? Or are you saying it makes sense?
No, Tosfos makes sense. The one that doesn't is Rashi. Okay. I mean, the conceptual extremes are the Rambam Raivin on one side and Tosfos on the other side. Rashi is weird because he thinks that tchel and lavan are equivalent, which means that the word tzitzit means both, but he thinks that if you don't have one of them, that you still need four strings. Four full strings, meaning eight strings. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Rav argues has to be the second Parsha. That in the Parsha in Bamidbar, Tchelet and Lavan are equivalent. But the fundamental definition of Tzitzit is from Dvarim, which is just Gdilin, which is just strings.
Right.
And therefore there's a base definition called strings. And then there's a superimposed structure on top, which is, the ideal way is equal Tchelet and Lavan. But if you can't, then make sure you have strings. It could be eight white, it could be eight Tchelet.
Wait, so you're saying that when Rashi says...
Then look at Rashi.
Basically, that means he's saying
that they're equal. Look. Afilo hachi ein zemakev etzeh, or batan lavan, yatza. But they're equivalent, like Tosfot, two and two. And he even says, what does it mean, ein makvin? I could do all tchel or all lavan. They're mamish equivalent.
Right.
There's no preference.
Right, so he's talking about color versus...
Bidyuk. Right, the number for him is definitional. Right, the definition of tzitzit is string.
Right.
The colors are superimposed on that. And in that sense, tchel and lavan are equal, but they're not definitional. I mean, the word tzitzit just means strings. Now the Gemara continues. So now the Gemara tries to understand the psukim. Lema masiz in deloki Rebbe. Let's say the Mishnah is not like Rebbe. The Tanya ritemoto. Melamed shema'akvin zed zed. Divei Rebbe. Rebbe holds that they are ma'akev, at least at this stage of the Gemara. So now the Gemara says, how do you get it from the Pesukim? My time of the Rebbe, Dichtiv HaKanaf, Min Kanaf, Uchtiv, Ptil Tchelet, V'Amar Rachmana, Uritem Oto. You have two identifiable units. The Kanaf, which according to him is the Lavan.
Right, Min Kanaf.
Right, that which is similar to the Beged, which is the Lavan. We'll have to come back to that. Ptil Tchelet. And what does the Torah call it? Oto adika travayu bichad. So he reads it as follows: that Rabbanan ritem oto kol chad chudei mashma. Said, what's the difference? Rebbe reads it as follows: what does it mean ma'akvin? Maybe I said this wrong yesterday. It's possible. The Ma'akvin, according to Rebbe, is how do you get it? Is there are two components, and the resulting hull is called
one unit.
One unit, which means they are Ma'akvin Zedze. They're one integrated unit.
Right.
And what's the Shita of the Chachamim?
That they each their own thing, I guess. I don't know where they get that from.
Because each of them is Oto, meaning Oto isn't.
That's a
look at the Rajma who clarifies it a bit.
Was it really a
now,
you have an extra sheet.
Yeah, so this is the new sheet, right? The one with the Rajma on it. Did you get the one with the Rajma on it?
The one
on
top.
Yeah, exactly. That was the. Did I just give you my last one? It's possible. This is left over from yesterday. Okay, it's fine. I'll share with you. I don't know. The printer has been a bit. Oh, here it is. I did have one more for myself. Now, we saw yesterday that the Ktava Kabbalah notes... No, I just said this. I think I said this right yesterday. The Ktava Kabbalah says, why is it that we count tzitzis as one mitzvah from the same drasha? Meaning, right? The separate question, is this one mitzvah?
Mm-hmm.
The Ktava Kabbalah says the reason the Rambam thinks it's one mitzvah is the same drasha, Oto. The Machlokas in the Gemara is what is the relationship between the two components? If you hold Ma'akvin... Then you'll say, what does it mean, Oto? It means that this is one integrated unit, and without both, it's not defined as it.
Right.
If you think Ein Ma'akvin, you think that maybe it's one mitzvah, but each of them is an identifiable unit, and so if you look at the Rajba clarifies it a bit. He reads, he's careful. Nate, should we read it together? Because
sure.
Nate got it. Okay, well
was Nate the other one who got it?
No, but I know you got it, and I'm proud. So let's do the Rashba. Oh. Or the Miuchos, really. So what does he say? We'll read it carefully. Oh, you know, it's okay. It is a hard Rashba to read, but let the record show that Nate got the Rashba. So good.
Thank you.
So Gemara, he says as follows. Gemara, my time at the Rebbe, de'imi shim uri tem oto, if, because it says, and you shall see it, lo mashma dekoi el achada minayu, Dilav Lashon Rabim Hu. It doesn't imply that it's referring to one because it's not plural language. Dikata Rahman Ritem Otam, if it had said, and you shall see them, Aval Gavdavim Metzinan Lamemar Dikai Lashon Ravana Tzitziot, you could have said, even if it had said Otam, you still could have said it's one mitzvah. Why? Because plural could have talked about the four strings. Which are clearly plural, even if one mitzvah, because we don't pass like Rabbi Shmuel in the previous Gemara. Right? Rabbi Shmuel thought that there are four separate mitzvot.
Right.
But even if you count them as one mitzvah, there are four physical units. Mikomakom. But since the Torah went out of its way and didn't use Otam when Otam would have been legitimate, whether you thought it was one or two mitzvot, whether you thought Ma'akev or not Ma'akev, Chevan de Nuchal Omar Kimochein de Kayalavan Ve'Atchelet. Now it's ambiguous because the singular can refer to either the Tchelet or the Lavan. Because they are equivalent. It's a, what is it? It's an ambiguous modifier. Isn't it, right? The direct object is ambiguous. Remember your grammar? Oto is.
I know what he's
talking about. No, Lavan gets it. Yeah, sure.
There's a pronoun here, which is referring to something.
Yeah.
We don't know what it's referring to. The Rajba claims that. What is Rebbe's point? That there's an intentional ambiguity. Because Oto can refer to Tchelet or Lavan. Nema dekai
akulhu. What if it was referring to Tchelet, wouldn't it be Otah?
No, because it could be the string which is dyed Tchelet.
Oh.
And the string of Tchelet or the string of Lavan. The ode, dimistama et lanamimar dekai tveya Lavan u Tchelet. He says, furthermore, that tzitzit are always more plural, even if they're called tzitzit, because they're made of multiple strings. And therefore, the white, blue qualities are more likely to be that which are referred to in singular. Atchelet o alavan udaloma akve. Um, Now the Rashba comes up with a huge chiddush, which we'll have to come back to later in the Gemara because the main sugya isn't here. He said maybe.
Is that why it's
yes, exactly. I'm yuchasim l'Rashba technically, but yes. He says maybe the mitzvah in question is not wearing tzitzit, but is seeing tzitzit, which several Rishonim thought was an independent mitzvah. The Rashba, the Rivash, several.
Wait, seeing it isn't like.
Looking at it was a separate mitzvah. Yes, the Rashba thinks this. Or seems to.
Like without a bracha.
Spoiler alert, that I know that Rav Moshe doesn't hold that.
Just looking.
Okay, but it's the Rashba and there's three Vash.
No, I know, I'm saying spoilers.
Okay. V'yesh lomer d'zeino. V'shum d'i ma'akve I efshar lirot zebelo ze. He said no.
The Rambam doesn't hold this either.
Okay.
I'm saying.
The Rashba does.
Spoilers.
Yes, but the we'll get there. But he says that is irrelevant to this. Why? Because the mitzvah, if there were a mitzvah to look at your tzitzit, what would the mitzvah be? To look at the chefza called tzitzit. But in order to figure out what that chefza is, you need to know what the mitzvah is. Meaning, one is dependent on the other. Uri item oto, even if there is a mitzvah of seeing, it's seeing it. And what's it? That's the question. Right? The question we're dealing about is, what is the chefza of tzitzit? The question of whether there's a mitzvah only to wear that or also to look at it is a separate point. But the oto drasha is about the chefza shel tzitzit. If you didn't get that, that's fine. We're going to come back to that. But, yes, know that the Rashba and the Rivash, and this is part of the Rivash's argument for why you look at tzitzit during davening. Well, the Beit Yosef is quoting the Rivash.
Of course.
Rav Yitzchak Bar
Sheshet. All right, I've heard the Rivash, of course.
Of course. V'im came me, because of Ri'iya achad minayu shema minol ma'akli. V'im tor my name is oto mashma achad minayu. So they don't get it. Still, why don't you say oto means the tzitzit, which would include both v'yesh lomar dimken lechtov kra v'tirehu, because then it should say v'tirehu. See it. Deleik v'tzitzit mitachav uritem oto mashvachad d'minayhu. It's the mihanach da'irbu kra da'inu tchil lovan, because that was the last thing that we said. Right, we didn't put it right after the tzitzit. We put it after the discussion of tchelet.
Right.
So what do we see? According to the Rashba, what's the machlokas in the Gemara? I think he makes it a bit clearer. That the Gemara had a havamia. The Gemara rejects it. Right, the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara had a havamia. There was a machloket of ma'akvin. And what was the machlokas? If you hold ein ma'akvin, why would you say ein ma'akvin? Because otel means that each stands alone, each has its own identity. And if you hold ma'akvin, why? Because they're so integrated that it's not defined as it, unless it has the two components. Right?
Sure.
Yes?
I mean, I would have said just because the simple flow of the pasuk can say that. You know?
Well, but they base their drush on the same word.
Right.
The Rashba is clarifying the Gemara. How can you get from the same word two different drushot? And the answer is, do you view Oto as each one of them independently is it?
Why would you think that?
Well, that's the way we posken.
I'm saying, why would...
Because it's... So,
meaning from the reading, it says that you have the strings, and you have the string, and then...
Right, so the Rashba's argument is that because, if it had wanted to say that, it should have, according to the Rashba, and this is why I put the Rashba, it should have said Oto after the string and not after the clarification of Tchelet and Lavan. Because it should have said, and you shall see it, meaning the strings, and they have Tchelet and Lavan. But Tarehu, and put Tchelet and Lavan on it. But instead, it says, and you shall see it after having clarified the details. Which sounds like the direct object is the immediately preceding discussion and not to preceding. Meaning not the generality, but that which we've now clarified. That's his argument. That what's going on in the Gemara is that because the Pasuk, it's, right, I mean, the whole Re'item Oto comes after we've clarified components.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you wanted to say it was a totally integrated unit, and that the string is it, the it, is the object, and Tchil and Lavan are Ma'akvin, then it should have said a Re'item Oto on the tzitzit before it tells you about the components. But since it waited to say oto after having clarified the components, mm-hmm. now the object being modified is the the ambiguous tchelet or lavan. And therefore, the machlokas in the Gemara is...
like the extra thing?
Well, you know, it's definitely not going to be the extra, and therefore it's ambiguous, because tchelet... right? It could be you only see the tchelet, but that would only emphasize the point. Because the tchelet sounds like it's tafel. It's a, Rashi is a chiddush that it's not. Yeah? No? One more time?
I'm not a big linguist, so it's a little bit...
It's, look, the underlying assumption, and this is a point I think I made... yeah, made yesterday? Yeah, I think I made it yesterday. That the assumption of Chazal in reading Psukim is what we call omnisignificance. That any possible resonance in the Pasuk is true. And therefore, had anything that... any ambiguity that's created by the order of the Pasuk, every potential interpretation has a halachic implication, or a theological implication. That's the way Chazal read Psukim.
Like,
and therefore...
of Elu, or not even that?
More than that, meaning that every resonance, right? It's not just that different possibilities, it's that every level.
Okay.
And that's why you can darshan the things from the extra vav, and from the extra hey, and from the way it's phrased this way, and since it's phrased that way and not that way, we learn two things, that whole methodology. So what's the Rashba saying? That the argument of Ma'akvin is what Chaim says. Just say, oto means the strings. And the strings, once you say that the string is singular, and it has two components, what does that teach you? Ma'akvin.
Right.
Because the definition of tzitzit is a completely integrated whole of tchelet and lavan. And without one, it's not defined as tzitzit.
Right.
But if you want to say that they're independent enough and they're not ma'akiv, then you have to say that no. The oto means, see it the white, see it the blue. And even if it's an integrated whole in the sense that it's one mitzvah, because tzitzit is still called, that all the words are singular, still the fact that the ambiguity means that we're not sure whether the element being identified is the tzitzit, the tchelet, or the lavan, that shows you that each has a certain independent identity, and that's why the Torah wrote it with that ambiguity. And that's essentially the Rashba's contention. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now the Gemara rejects this. Right, the Gemara rejects this, because what does the Gemara say? Amar Rav, afilu teimit Rebbe lo nitzcha el lekadein. What does the Gemara say? What?
No.
What? Not clear?
It's not necessary.
So the Gemara says, l'maskana, we don't pasken this way. Everyone thinks that Chil and Lavan are not ma'akev.
Yeah.
Right.
It's what,
or not,
so
right.
What? The only question is?
The order.
Lekadein. Which one goes first?
Right.
Meaning, we'll see what that means. We have to see what that means. We haven't
again,
done that, but hold
but again,
that.
Again, Rebbe fits in better with the flow of the pasuk. Again, at least the way.
Titania.
The way that we understood that we didn't share, it fits in. Like I was just thinking about, but anyway.
We'll do lekadim when we get. We have to hold the thought. Titania
okay.
Mitzvah lakdim lavan the tchelik. Because it's a machlokas Rashi Rambam what it means lakdim. Did you know that?
The word itself.
To put the string in.
So we say machlokas Rashi and the Rambam what lahakti means, and that's what the Grizz points out here. So machlokas Rashi Rambam. What?
We didn't do the Grizz.
Okay. We will do that in a few days. But it's something to do with the order. Rashi thinks that's putting in. Well, I mean, Bikitsur, it's not going to take us a long time, but we're just going to try to understand it. Rashi says lahakti means that it's a mitzvah to put the white in before the tchelet.
Because of Minkanaf.
Because, yes, Rambam doesn't think that. Rambam thinks there's no such mitzvah. You can put tchelet in first, you can put lavan in first. The mitzvah is, lahaktim has to do with where you tie the knots.
Don't you,
which order you wrap it.
You tie them all together. Like put
then
them
you put
in
white,
together.
And right, then it starts wrapping the white and then wrapping the blue.
Don't you
what?
Put them in
I
together?
I thought you wrap it with one string.
I mean, whatever, meaning,
yeah,
okay, well, meaning yeah. Right, like on your tzitzit, right, the white comes first and only then the blues.
Oh.
Right?
Don't you put them in together? Like, you mean first? Or
that you're literally supposed to put it in the baguette first.
What if you just do it literally like all four?
You shouldn't. You should, that's what Rashi says.
Are you not
you
supposed
put,
to?
According to Rashi, you should put in the white first.
Oh.
Hmm.
Correct.
Interesting.
I thought you just it's just easier if you just do all four.
Well, if you're only putting in the white, it doesn't make a difference, right?
Yeah, I'm saying even if you're putting in both.
So according to Rashi, no, you're supposed to put in the white first. But we'll come back to Ma'akvin.
Okay. Do we hold
what?
Do we hold like that?
We'll see. We're doing an order. We have to focus on Ma'akvin. V'im hiktim tchelet lavan yotza, but if you put the tchelet in first, whatever that means, you're yotza, l'shechitzer mitzvah, but you missed the mitzvah, my chitzer mitzvah, what does that mean? Ilei mechitzer mitzvah, the lavan mekim mitzvah, tchelet, if it means you fulfilled the white and not, sorry, you didn't fulfill the white, you did tchelet, l'rebi ukuvi ma'akev ahadadi, that means they're ma'akev. So Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, shechitzer mitzvah v'asa mitzvah. U'may chitzer mitzvah, d'lovan mitzvah min ha-mufchar. It just means that it's not mitzvah min ha-mufchar. It's not the best mitzvah. So then the Gemara says, Hatenach lovan deino ma'akev et ha-tchelet. Tchelet deino ma'akev et ha-lovan ma'yi. I get it. So I know what white tchelet is ma'akev lovan. What does it mean? That tchelet... So I understand what lovan is in ma'akev tchelet. What does it mean tchelet is ma'akev as a lovan? Amar Rav Racham, alen shechal ha-talet shekula tchelet. A talis, which is completely tchelet, it marnami, and there you only put. And it marnami, amar levi the shmul har yochlo did vakar and vajle halam milta tchelet makiv at a loven. He tells the story, but loven imen of a tchelet mayhi. What is it? Amar lelo nitzrchayel lesadim betzitzit the mitzvah lakdume. Lavan bereisha. The first is to say you should put the white first. My time al knaf min knaf. The actin tchelet lavan litlan ba, but if you put tchelet first, it's fine. Tenach lavan deina makev da tchelet deina makev da lavan maihi. So Amar Leir Rami Baracham, alu nitzra la talet shekula tchelet, the mitzvah alu nitzchelet bereisha, da knaf min knaf. The actin lavan bereisha litlan ba. Okay. All these things have to be analyzed. But let's focus on the ma'akven. How do we pasken? Ma'akven or ein ma'akven?
Ein ma'akven.
Good, so you would say ein ma'akven. What would tell you ein ma'akven?
Like the fact that we allow to wear tzitzis without, you know, without tchelet.
So, good, you have your experiential thing, which is that you know you wear tzitzis without tchelet. And what else? In the Gemara, why would you say that we pasken this way?
No, because the idea of, it's just a mitzvah.
I mean, conceptually, that's what you'd say, right? That it's an addition to the mitzvah. But in the flow of the Gemara, would you tell me that tchelet is not ma'akev lavan, lavan is not ma'akev tchelet?
Oh, because it doesn't go with the Mishnah.
Because there is no such shita, according to the Gemara.
Right.
The Mishnah says, ain't a ma'akev, and the Gemara says, oh, isn't there another shita, Rebbe? And what does the Gemara answer?
Nope.
No, there's no such shita. Ma'akev for Rebbe means something about something else. Good. If you found a shita who rejected it, what would that tell you?
That rejected what?
That if you found a shita that said, despite everything I just said, that tchelet is ma'akev is halavan, what would that tell you conceptually about the definition of tzitzit?
SP together.
Yeah, meaning that having tchelet and lavan is
one mitzvah.
This is the absolute extreme of the Tosfos-like shita, meaning that tchelet and lavan are both definitional, so definitional that without one, it's not tzitzit. Nikuda.
Jenan, that's the opposite extreme of Tosfos.
No, that would be Tosfot taken to the extreme. Tosfot says that, but without ma'akev. Meaning, he says you can have tzitzit, but you just have to drop two.
Right.
If you, but to say that they're both essential and integrated would be to say, mamish ma'akvin pshuto kemashmau. Who holds that?
Rebbe.
So, the Gemara seems to reject the possibility that Rebbe holds that.
Yeah.
So if you look on this sheet, the one I gave you, there is one sheet that holds this.
I didn't get that one. And I have that's
this
fine.
One. This one.
That's fine.
Okay.
And I have this one.
Okay, I mean, that's from a while ago.
Yeah.
We're going to be moving back and forth between these sheets because I changed my mind a little bit and decided that it was worth doing Psak now because of the conceptual clarity it added. Just this point, not all the Psak stuff, but this conceptual point. There's one Shita who holds that it's ma'akev, and that is the Balamor. Who is the Balamor?
He lived in
1400s.
Southern France, known as Provence. What was his name?
I should know this.
Not even close.
Oh, wait a minute. The Me'or...
He wrote two books, the Mora Gadol, Mora Katan.
Wait, isn't anyone... Oh, no, wait.
Anyone from Provence is enlightening. Yeah, good. What's his name?
1 minute.
Zerachia.
Ah.
Zerachia. Which
I was going to start guessing French sounding.
No, Zerachia.
Very common.
related?
Not very. I don't know what. Look, his parents named him Zerachia, and in one place he tells you he had a brother named Prachia.
So, oh. Zerachia.
Yeah, Halevi.
Michael and
Maybe they meant Zacharia and just.
No, no, they meant Zerachia because. No, light names were very popular in Provence. Again.
Zerach HaShemesh.
Correct. And what? Remind me, why in Provence are light names so popular?
Because it was like the
Because the main cities that the Jews lived in, the main cities were?
Light.
Lunel, which means the moon. Narbonne, which relates to the sun. Those are the main cities.
Oh, light as in like light.
Light.
Hence, Lisra.
Correct. Yeah. Oh, who else do you know from Provence?
So many.
Menachem, the Mishpachat, Meiri.
Meiri.
Who else? Sefer HaMe'orot. These are just classic Provençal works. Okay. So Balamor is an interesting person. Balamor wrote his book when he was something like, I think he was 17. 19, 17, none of that. He's a teenager. And what was his book?
Like Rav Kook.
Daniel, what was his book?
Sure.
Daniel, what was the Balamor's book? So the Balamor was basically Daniel's age when he wrote it.
Really?
Yes. And you know what he decided? Instead of just writing his own thoughts on Torah, he decided that as a how old are you? 18, 19? 18. Okay, he was something like that. I forget if he was 17, 19, something like that. About your age. He decided that he was going to take the most well-respected posek of the last 300 years before him, who was Rabbi Yitzchak Fassi.
Throw him out.
Riff. And he was going to write a systematic commentary explaining every time he thought the riff was wrong. Okay? This made
so basically
people...
the Ravid of the Rambam.
Oh yeah, except the Ravid hated the Balamor also. Hated. Hated, hated. They, literally, they write back and forth on each other, and why did they hate each other?
Because they were at the same time.
And?
And the Balamor came out.
And they wanted to marry the same girl. That's why. God.
The oldest...
And we know they wanted to marry the same girl. That's why they had a lifelong hatred, and they
visually. Who
married
the right? The right. The right.
What a Chad.
Anyways, but they really didn't like each other. The Rivet writes about the Balamor at different points that this is a basket full of lies.
Is he the one who said that he was never Baltash?
No. That's the Yom Tov Shlomo on the Megdalos. And therefore, what Sefer is written as a response to the Balamor?
Insults in Judaism.
The Melchamot Hashem. The Ramban says, I'm going to fight the good fight.
And also
the Ramban went to
the Ramban is wrong at the same time? The
Ramban is later.
Yeah.
Ramban is later. Ramban is a generation later.
The Balamor?
Yes.
Who lived in the 1400s?
Balamor does not live in the 1400s.
The Rambam lived in the 1200s.
Right, I know that.
So the Ramban lives in the 1200s.
Yes, yeah. The Balamor is a generation before him in Provence.
Yeah, because... Yeah.
Okay, wait. So who do you say lived in the 1400s?
I just like said it.
No, he said that. He's wrong.
I was like, oh.
No, the Balamor is a contemporary of the Rivet. Balamor is a contemporary of the Rivet, which means he's about the Rambam, maybe a little bit older.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit older. I'm not sure exact years of Balamor. But he's a contemporary of the Rivet.
But the Rivet writes on
the
Rambam.
The Rivet at the end of his life received a copy of the Rambam and wrote some Ha'arot. The Rivet was much older than the Rambam.
I didn't know that, okay.
Yes, the Rivet is older than the Rambam.
I thought he was...
No. The Rivet was an established Gadol before the Rambam. At the end of his life, he wrote his Zazagos. His full commentaries on Shas, on the Riff, on...
He has a commentary on the Riff. Okay, yeah.
His commentary on Shas.
But he was the
Zaken HaMikubalim.
Well, now I can see why someone was a Kubal would disagree with the Rambam.
On some of the philosophical points, maybe, but he... Yeah. Anyways. So the Balamor writes this book. He's a teenager. He's a bit of an upstart. And Sure. So Ramban responds. And in his commentary on Shabbat, he says the following. Look at number 3 on the new page, okay? And then we're going to be going back and forth, like I said, between these two pages. The new one, the Ma'akvin one, the one I gave you this morning.
Wait, which one were we doing before?
No, the one you had with the Rashba.
Yeah, but which one were we doing,
The only one I've looked at today, but we're going to go back to some of the sources from yesterday. I'll give you that here. You can take that, but I'm not...
I have.
Okay. Just because I decided last night that I really had to look at this now. So the Balamor writes as follows. Chaim, since I have you today.
Sure.
No, I would never do that to somebody. Okay, fine, go ahead. Just for the record, if you have trouble reading it, know that two of the most complicated commentaries on Shas, period, full stop, are the Balmor and Lochamot. They are nearly impossible to read.
So,
what about the Gros?
The one you gave us yesterday is two sheets?
No, this was something...
You mean in terms of language?
No, it wasn't. It was just one side of one page.
What does it say?
Chelet and Lavan.
You mean in terms of language or the philosophy behind it?
No, just the word. They're just... It's a very verbose. Okay, good.
Okay, yeah, that's
Talmud
is the...
Talmud. And watch, he has a really radical read of this again. This is how he reads it. Go.
The cave and Shemitzos are Chelet I feel okay. So since the mitzvahs of Chiyas and Lavan rely on each other,
depend on each other.
I feel on Omar ein ma'akvos zu azu. Even according to Omar, it says that they're not that they don't stop each other. Okay, so they still rely on each other even if you hold that they're not.
Right. So he first of all takes the integrated approach, even according to the Shitos ein ma'akvos zu azu, which is a chiddush. Right, he thinks that even the Shito holds Ein Ma'akev doesn't really mean it. That at some level they really are dependent on each other.
Which is not like Tosfos at all.
Not at all. And therefore he says, V'nesra Tchelet B'Sadin. And therefore, without Tchelet, what would happen? You couldn't?
You couldn't have...
Kilayim, right, Kilayim. Right, remember, that's the Nafkamina from the Gemara in Lamed Zayinu and Beis. The Nafkamina of Chad Mitzvah multiple was Sadin B'Tziti. Remember? The Gemara had said that nafkamina between 1 and 4, mitzvot on tzitzit, not tchil and lavan,
was shatnez.
Which were two nafkaminas, shatnez and Shabbos. Right, shatnez meaning if you put three strings out of four, are you over kilayim? If you think it's four mitzvot, no. If you think one mitzvah, yes. And if you went outside on Shabbos with three strings, would it be carrying? So now the Balamor says even if you hold Ein Makvot Zu and Zu, without Tchela and Lavan, what are you not allowed to do?
You can't put Tchela in Sada.
Correct. Nesra Lavan Ima Mishum Tervayu Tzitzit Ninu. And what's his argument? Because even if you hold, and I'm not going to try to figure out exactly how he thinks Makvot not Makvot, but he thinks that even the whole Sheet of not Makvot still thinks that they're integrated enough conceptually that without both, they're not really Tzitzit. So good, tell me, therefore, what nafkamina is he going to say by the end of this? Predict what nafkamina is.
He's going to say that if you don't have tchelet, then you can't have shatnez.
And what else is he going to say?
And then you can't wear it on Shabbat.
You can't wear it at all, and for sure you can't wear it on
Shabbat.
Good. Who holds that way? I've said this several times.
The Salvechiks.
The Salvechiks.
Just the Shabbos part.
Correct. They're only machmir, like the Balamor, for Shabbos. And this is why anybody knows the Balamor Shita. It's because the Briskerov wouldn't wear his tzitzis on Shabbos to be choshesh with the Shita of the Balamor that Tchelas Magav is alone. So let's see this.
Okay.
He says, Ve'ein lecha lahafrish b'neihem shem edachai v'etzen me'lovan v'ozu b'tchelet nim tzitzim ezvezah asur. Don't tell me that maybe... Right, he's talking about Xera against certain things. I don't want to get into the details of it. Tavaz erach mo'od v'ein atzovalto.
Oh,
okay, good. So now skip down to the ellipsis. Okay?
Oh,
actually, no. Go to the riff. Umasha goes, our riff zal, ki ala tchelet heim dvarim amurim, lo matzinu tchelet levada, shenikret tzitzit bishum makom, lo b'mikra v'lo b'mishna v'lo b'talmud. This is also why people didn't like the Balamor. It wasn't just that he attacked the riff. They argued the riff. Is that this little teenager kid, like your age, this is how he talks about the riff. What the riff said is wrong. It goes against the Mishnah, it goes against the Gemara, it goes against Tanakh, it goes against everything. Right? This is how he talks. He was a bit...
He said how riff is, dull.
Yes.
It was rabbinic disrespect.
Some people like that in...
Okay.
Is it Shiva?
No.
Never mind. That's like someone said, no offense... But
you're an idiot, and everything you say is wrong.
Correct. So that's basically how he talks about the riff, and that's why people got annoyed at him.
Well, at least he said no offense.
Exactly.
He could have said offense.
No offense, but
you know what? You're stupid. You're wrong. All right.
He could have, but yeah.
So he says.
He said offense.
And he says, but what's his argument? Look at his conceptual claim. What's his conceptual claim? Chaim. What's his conceptual claim? How does he know what he says is true? Because it's Tchelet is never called Stam Sitzit ever. Oh. It's these are integrative Eviodeya. Shedatenu notesh atchelet ma'akevet et alavan ve'alavan et atchelet. I think we paskin like the Hava Amina of the Gemara within Rebbe.
What?
Chaim's like, that doesn't make any sense. So does Gavi. Everyone's saying that. And he says, I, the Ava Gav de Tanya ve'chacham omer ein ma'akven. Haparish ne megorah the man chacham yichidahi kedamrin begemara mantana the palakodir yitzchak kudamar the einlo tchelet matelo lavan. He says because later on in the Gemara you discover that the chachamim are a specific shita. Hilka hadrin lekala the naktinan halacha ki Rebbe michaveiro. So therefore we paskin like Rebbe. I, what's the problem? Didn't the Gemara reinterpret Rebbe to say that it's only about order? Valga the bright tekatanila the Rabbi Yitzchak and Chacham the Stam the bright lochashin Rabbi Adiv Mishum etc. Skip down. He says, and then he brings the whole story. So he says three lines on mitkama hadrin the perush lamatin lafuki lamasizim mipashta look malib the Rebbe kilcheta. He said, what's the problem? The problem was. That all of this was under the assumption that the Gemara was playing these games only because there was this assumption that this was the Shitas Yachid. But once you establish that Rebbe is not the Shitas Yachid, so we don't have to reinterpret him. I don't want to go through every move he makes there. But basically he thinks that this reinterpretation is only necessary until you realize that we paskin like Rebbe. Once you realize we paskin like Rebbe, the interpretation, reinterpreting is not necessary.
But we don't paskin like
Rebbe. Yeah, we don't.
Well, he says we do.
But the Mishnah says we don't.
Well, he says we do. And therefore he says, listen, he says three... I didn't say it was easy.
I'm just saying.
Not so, okay. In three lines at the bottom, he says, Umina kad marino bama chayarif lesmogolav kasher Yisrael ish b'davar elokim umina pachan amirak v'aminu k'moshin oga yom hogoshan v'alkein anach niyotzim v'kveri shonim. And he says, the minog that people have to wear tzitzit bechlal is... because they paskin like the Rif, but it's wrong. And there the Balamor tells you, does he wear tzitzis?
No.
No, the Balamor didn't wear tzitzis.
What about the story?
Because he said it's only if you can, but we paskin tchelet makavet alavan. We don't have tchelet, you're not yotze. And therefore, are you allowed to go out with white tzitzis? No, ever.
Why ever?
Because you're wearing arva kanfa without tzitzit. And the briskers are makbid, not in general, but they're makbid on Shabbos. Because in general, it's only a bit lase. But on Shabbos, Mizratzah, Bidaraisa. And what does the Machamo say? What do you think Machamo says? Yeah, you're out of your mind. Right? He says, Umasha Mar Balamorza al Shadaita no Cheshat Khil Makabit.
Who wrote the Machamo?
Ramban.
I know, I like that how they have such a disrespect that they call them, but they have to have the Zal. It's Rav Alfas Zal, and then
it's.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's like the no offense, but.
Umasha Mar Balamorza al Shadaita no Cheshat Khil Makabit Alavan. Midadrin Lapirush to Mazizan lead the Rebbe. Since the Gemara in its continuation seems to go back to its original interpretation of Rebbe, he says that is a leave the Rebbe ain't a raya shel klum. So that is just wrong. To be shum the Rebbe satminhu libraisa lemasisin lukminu kavatayu. He said because in the end of the day, what did the Gemara? He said even if you think that's true. And then at the end of the day, Rebbe really holds Chelet Makiv and Alavan. What's the normal rule of Psak? How do we paskin? Stam Mishnah.
Oh.
And what does the Stam Mishnah say?
It's not
Makiv.
Right?
And therefore he says, even if it's true, it doesn't matter because we paskin like the Stam Mishnah. And then if you're interested in to see everything that he does... just look at his last line. Look at the last line on the first page. He says, "Vihine lebalamor." Right, this is really what you need to see. "Vihine lebalamor." Achshav im kol manalalu, ein adam sarich lahatil lavan levado. According to the Balamor, what would be yotze? That nowadays, do you have to wear? Should you wear tzitzis?
No.
No. The kol shekein shasur b'shabbat. And for sure you aren't allowed to wear tzitzis on Shabbos.
Unless you have tchilas.
Sometime after we finish this sugya, like everything on the Yeshivas in a day or two, we're going to move to the modern tchilas. We're going to take a pause in the rest of the Gemara. We're going to spend some time on the modern tchilas issue because... I think it's worth doing.
The snail juice, the Murex trunculus,
yeah. In formal language,
yeah,
snail juice.
Actually, apparently, they changed the name.
They did. It's the hexaplus trunculus. Yes, now it's the hexaplus trunculus. You're correct. It used to be the Murex trunculus, and now it's called the hexaplus trunculus.
Do they test it?
Because of course that really helped you. Because when I said Murex trunculus, you're like, oh, I don't know which snail that is. But when I said hectopus trunculus, you're obviously. Like, oh yes, that's obviously, that's my pet, right?
I mean, if you don't laugh, I think these things make more sense.
What?
These things make more sense if you don't laugh.
Fine, you know what?
If you Google it, you'll give you a picture of the same thing.
It'll be fine.
It's not a language, it's a code.
And he says, lo'od, el shechayv chatat. And he says, where does the Ramban get his proof that the main naftamina of Ma'akev is going to be that you're Chayav Misa on Shabbos? Where does he get his proof? The Gemara on Lamed Zayin Amud Bet, which said that the naftamina between one, you guys didn't do that, but that was the machlokas in the Gemara. No. Based on the Mishnah of whether the Arba Tzitziot, not Tchel and Lavan, the four strings are one mitzvah or four mitzvot. To Machlokes in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim.
Yeah.
And the Gemara said, what's the Nafkamina there? Tchelet and Tzitzit, Tshatnez and Tzitzit, and Shabbos. Whether you're Chayef for going out on Shabbos with three out of four Tzitzit. If you hold it's one mitzvah, you're Chayef for carrying. If it's four mitzvot, then you're not Chayef for carrying, because the three are meaningful.
If you're missing strings, then you...
If you think it's four separate mitzvot, then if you go out with three, then the three are at least meaningful, so it's not carrying. If you think it's one mitzvah, then it's nothing, and therefore you're chayav for carrying. So Ramban says that therefore if the Balamor holds tchilat makir v'lavan, then that means the Maisa, in general, you shouldn't wear tzitzit, and if you wear it on Shabbos, in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then you're chayav misa.
Well, very few places are Rosh Hashanah Rabbim do right.
That's what you think.
What?
That's what you think.
It's a predatory.
Why would you think that? That's because you're taking certain assumptions. Yeah. That's because you hold a Erevin, right? If you were a Brisker, you wouldn't hold a Erevin because you would know that that's wrong according to many Rishonim, right? I'm not saying you shouldn't carry an Erevin.
They're wrong. Though.
You can only build an Erevin from the place that isn't Rosh Hashanah Rabbim.
Ah, why do you think people don't like Erevin?
Oh, what if it's...
I thought people didn't like it because they're not built properly.
That also. Rabbi. But also because why would you assume that there's not a Rosh Hashanah Daraisa?
Rabbi, if the community...
I'm not telling you not to carry, I'm just saying that briskers don't carry anywhere.
What if the community carries and all the rabbis do and you don't? Isn't that you a rough?
But you don't have to carry.
Yeah, you don't have to carry. And really, you want to be Chayav Misa.
Yeah, that's like a shevel of Al Tosa kind of
idea. Chayav Misa. Oh.
I came to a conclusion with my own thing.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
What do you think? Is it you a rough to avoid something that would carry the death penalty?
I don't know. If you're convinced that it is...
Death penalty worthy?
Oh, well, today we don't really have a death penalty, so, like, yeah.
Well, that's great.
Oh, no.
That was a bad conclusion.
Because, like, Ivar still applies, but death penalty now. So.
Now, I will point out, there is an irony. The Ramban says, do you know where you would be allowed to wear tzitzit, even according to Balamor on Shabbos? On a beged, which is only chayiv midir abanan. Okay. There's only chayiv midir abanan.
Then what?
Then the tzitzit that are on it, even if just lavan, if you're makayim it midir abanan, then they're meaningful because it's complete, right? That's his next line. He said, "Avo bishav etal shidivrayim yotzim kaven dehi mitzuyetzit kichiyuva bat leilagava." Something which is only chayiv midir abanan, then you can be yotze only midir abanan, and therefore is it carrying? No, because it's meaningful, right?
So this whole of
HX were
kind of business?
I don't know.
Was it we
he had, says,
you know,
Ukvar kibalnu eduto And he says that we have Eidut. Guys, he says we have Eidut that what? Shekol Yomav Pater Atmo Minatzitzit Kidvarav Halalu. We heard that the Balamor indeed in his lifetime didn't wear tzitzit. Vare avot kadmonim imoragonim nagulatzit bitalit sheish balavan velo tchelet. And he said, what does Ramban say? You mechutzef. You are a. He said, all the gedolim, they all wore tzitzis, white tzitzis. And you're going to tell me you're not allowed to wear tzitzis? Umemra der Nachman Gufa damar sema o pishtim haviet yufta shilo yotchil v'lovim akven zetza yucham v'tzrifin lahatel alakad talit sheyesha lahat v'ashnerim shereim v'echad mehem zeicha lakim misra tzitzit v'chol tikkun rabban again the tikkun. He goes on, he proves it, and then he quotes several other shitot, and therefore at the last line he says hadvarim modiim shekulam nechochem lamevin v'yisharim m'notzei dad v'ashrei hamidaber La'ozen Hashoma'ad. This is very classic Ramban to end his Balamor talk, which is, the things are known, because Shekulam Nicholchim L'mevin, they are all clear to those who understand, and they are straight to those who have found wisdom, and praiseworthy is one who speaks to the ear who listens. Right? The implications of that statement is, anybody who thinks straight knows that this is the right answer. If you say otherwise, you are stupid. Right? You are crazy. But what do we see conceptually, right? The Balamor is the extreme. He says we pasken ma'akev, and what is his logic? Right? What's his logic? What does he say?
There is none.
Meaning, no. There's two questions. One's the logic of the position. The second is that a fair read of the sugya? And what does he say? What's the logic of the position? The logic is exactly what the Gemara said, is that the word tzitzit means tchelet plus lavan, totally integrated in their definition, and therefore one without the other is meaningless.
Right.
Correct?
I can't touch it.
What's interesting for him is not crazy, that's what a shita of makvin would mean. Right? He's the extreme because he thinks that, A, this is true for everybody, and he thinks that to some extent even the shita who holds ain makvin holds this. Right? That this notion that the blue and white are integrated even is ein makvin, and that's really radical. Okay.
Not choking. It's more like
it. Are you guys up to continuing one more complicated shita, or should I hold one more complicated shita for tomorrow?
I have a question. It may not apply to now, because we might do it later, but do you need techeles on tzitzis that are derabanan?
You should, I think. Guys, what do you think? Are you up for another very complicated shita, or should we wait till tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Okay, so remember yesterday, just to remind you, remember I said that the Rabbeinu Bachaye seems to have a weird mil shita, which is that Tchelet is Ma'akev and Alavan if it exists, but if you don't have access to it, then it's not Ma'akev.
Yeah.
Right? So I found that in Yeruchim Fitchel Perla, and that's what I gave you here, the Bayer on the Rasag, he actually presents an argument for this, not quoting Rabbeinu Bachaye. He doesn't know that this is Rabbeinu Bachaye, but his argument does seem to go in that direction. So tomorrow, try to reread the piece of Rabbeinu Bachaye and read Yeruchim Fitchel Perla, because that'll be the last interpretation of Ma'akvin, and try to finish the sheet of Tchilat and Lavan. That'll be tomorrow. That's Wednesday. Tuesday.
Wow, it's Tuesday.
So then hopefully Thursday we'll start the topic of modern Tchilat. That will take us probably 2 days, and then we'll go back into the Gemara and continue. Okay.
Do you have an extra sheet of that one? Which